Welcome. To Arcade Audio.
Welcome to this week's episode of Married with Movies. I'm one of your hosts, Samantha Mullet. See you next to me on the couch is your other host, my beautiful husband, Chris Mullet.
I was going to wait to put my seat up until it was my turn to talk, but I didn't trust me not saying anything and moving the seat up, being loud enough to come out on the show. So instead, you're left with this myriad of thoughts.
You're a fucking idiot.
Oh, yes, I am. Hello, everybody. It is Sunday, April 20th. Happy Easter. Happy other things. Happy WrestleMania Sunday.
WrestleMania Sunday, baby.
WrestleMania, baby. Woo!
Over, yeah. Under how many times you've said that this week?
It's been like 20, probably.
I'm taking the over.
It'll be the over, but yeah. Not right now. It's not the over.
Well, yeah, I know, but I'm going to win because I took the over.
You won everything we played today as well, which disgusts me. So.
Which, it invigorates me. I'm so excited.
Well, something has to go right for you today compared to, you know, how you almost broke our daughter's arm earlier.
You're the one who put her on your back. It's not my fault.
Earlier today.
It's not my fault.
I was giving Jillian a piggyback ride, and Sam kept pulling my pants down.
Look, you weren't. It was not a piggyback ride. You were pretending to be a horse.
I'm not done. So this was already happening, and then Jillian proceeded to sit on my back and want a horseback ride as well, which we were both kind of opposed to, but I said, just spot her,
and I said, very, very slowly,
which I was doing, to the other room.
And then with one hand, I pulled your pants down, and you freaked out because it wasn't even, like, your boxers were still on, and she was on your back. It's not like she was going to see anything.
I was laughing that you had the nerve to do it.
And then you fell over.
And
thus, Jillian fell over and hurt her arm.
And cried.
Yeah, it was your fault.
It was your fault.
It was your fault.
1000% your fault.
Your fault.
It's your fault. And because of that,
a great podcast. No, it's your fault.
That's the married part. sometimes that could be the movie's fault, depending on what we nominate. I mean, this is technically your selection today. The Aristocrats. Oh, I have to nominate two fucking movies.
Yeah, you do.
I got stuff in the chamber. So yeah, we're recording this kind of in weird circumstances. It's like, it was like 4:20 just a few moments ago, and it's 4:20 in the day. How appropriate. We have Jillian upstairs, who's playing on a Sunday because I'm going to be traveling for work tomorrow through Thursday, but we are trying our best to not miss a week, and we just didn't have the energy to record, when we finished watching this Friday evening. So here we are, knocking it out for all of you. Dozens of people, right now. So we haven't watched really anything else. So my Sinners report will have to wait one more week, unfortunately. On top of another movie report, I forgot. I'm just trying to watch something else when I'm down. Not at the theater, but just on my own to prepare for another future movie that I'll be watching. Anything else you've been doing besides beating me in games?
Nope.
Cool.
That's what I live for.
Beating me in games? Well, that's not much of a life because you barely do it. I will. Oh, no, you have won everything. I demolished you in categories.
No, that doesn't count.
Yes, it does. No. Well, it directly impacts the podcast because Samantha is currently doing a categories challenge with me as she takes a big swig of wine.
You're a cheater.
We have two versions. We have two versions of categories.
You're a cheater.
And we are going to sunset the older version.
Cheater.
And we're playing every list once again throughout an entire game. And if Samantha can beat me in one game, then she gets to pick any movie of her choice for the podcast. And if I win all 16 games,
But you haven't won all 16 games.
No.
So I've already won. No, I've already won. No. I've already won.
I misspoke.
No.
I misspoke.
You're not allowed to.
Yes.
Nope.
Yes, nope. I am. Shut the fuck up. You have to win one game.
Yeah.
I have to make sure that you don't win one game. We are currently through 14 lists.
Big ol' asterisk.
14 lists.
13
lists. I am 12-0-1. We tied on one game. So that is why I am still in the running here. Because we do not win.
Asterisk.
Environment.
Asterisk, because you said that you had to win all of them, and you have not won all of them, so I'm the real winner here.
I didn't set it when we messed it up. When we set up the...
Sure.
So that we'll get ready for that sometime soon. But for today, you have Samantha's nominated movie. Yes, Samantha's nominated movie. Because I don't feel like watching The Aristocats. Samantha, we watched The Aristocrats.
We did watch The Aristocrats.
Go ahead and read the package of The Aristocrats.
100 comedians, one very dirty joke. You'll laugh till it hurts, says Rolling Stone. Obscene, disgusting, vulgar, and vile. Might be the funniest movie you'll ever see, says The Hollywood Reporter. It's really odd. And there's so much freaking writing. Filthy?
No, ma'am, I'm sorry, what?
No, I don't have to read all that.
Yes, you do.
It's like...
That's part of this.
No, it's like this.
That's part of this. You have to read all of that, no. Samantha. Yes, you do. That's not... You don't have to read those features. You have to read all of this.
No, we never read, like if it has, like, the cast.
Because the cast is normally up top here, above. You don't have to read the Paul Prevenger thing. You have to read this stuff.
Appearances by Jason Alexander, Hank Azaria, Louis Black, Drew Carey, George Carlin, Billy Connolly, Andy Dick, Phyllis Diller, Whoopi Goldberg, Gilbert Gottfried, Eric Idle, Bill Maher. How do you say it?
Bill Maher.
Howie Mandel, Penn and Teller, Paul Reiser, Bob Saget, Sarah Silverman, The Smothers Brothers, Jon Stewart, and 80 more of your favorite comedians. Filthy, furiously funny, says Premiere. No nudity, no violence, unspeakable obscenity. Comedian veterans and co-creators Penn Jillette, one half of the hit duo Penn and Teller.
Penn Jillette.
It's Jillette.
He says it's Jillette.
It's Jillette.
It's Jillette.
It's Jillette.
It's Jillette.
It's Jillette. Ask ChatGPT.
Keep going.
And Paul Provenza capitalize on their insider status and invite 100 of their closest friends, who happen to be some of the biggest names in entertainment, from George Carlin, Whoopi Goldberg, Drew Carey, to Gilbert Gottfried, Bob Saget, Paul Reiser, and Sarah Silverman. See, I shouldn't have had to read that because then I'm just repeating it down here. So I think I was right. To reminisce, analyze, and deliver their own versions of the world's dirtiest joke. An old burlesque routine too extreme to be performed in public called The Aristocrats. Don't miss this critically acclaimed, star-studded comedy extravaganza that celebrates the art of improvisation and the finest and most foul-mouthed traditions of stand-up. It's 100% guaranteed to stretch the limits of good taste and how loud and long you can laugh.
So I have two here.
I disagree.
On both of them?
No. It's fine for the first one. Well, I do disagree on the first one.
I know, because
they have the names here, so there's no reason for me to have already read it.
That name wasn't there.
What?
The one you mispronounced. So then,
but it doesn't matter. But if I hadn't had to read this, which I said I shouldn't have had to read that, then I wouldn't have gotten one wrong. So I think I should only get one for this then, instead of the two. Because there's no reason I should have had to repeat the names if that's exactly how, if I would have had to read it all together.
I think this is bullshit.
No, it's not. You know I'm right. You know I'm right. I
don't feel like getting into an argument about it.
You're such a liar. You always feel like getting into an argument.
Take your one, not on a recorded medium, where I already have to edit once earlier. So no, I'm fine.
Fine.
Just let Samantha complain her way through everything.
Fine. You think you're going to upset me?
No, okay. No, I'm not. It makes it even worse.
Great.
Had you seen this movie before?
No.
You've never seen this before?
I've never seen this before. Have you?
Of course. I saw this in theaters for Tony Colt's birthday.
Of course you did.
In 2006. I believe this was his 20th birthday, so we saw this movie together. What is your score? As you, the person, has never seen it before.
It's hard to score a movie like this, I think.
It's the damn it, I dropped something.
You dropped something.
it's the typical documentary problem.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's hard to score because it's not like there's any substance to it.
I disagree.
There's not really any substance to it. You could have had 100 anybody's up there doing it. I'll give this movie... I'm going to give it a 6, and then we're going to see where we go.
So I'm going to give it, I'm going to give it a 7.5.
Okay.
This movie has grown, in my opinion, the older I get, which is kind of surprising. Because the first time I saw it, I was kind of let down by it. And I've rewatched this movie a lot. It's like a very easy movie to just kind of throw on because you don't need to see it.
Right. Just listening, really.
And be fine with it.
Yeah.
So I think the whole thing's on YouTube nowadays. I think it's always on, like, Pluto TV or something of that extent to where, like, I can just have it on as background noise. And from that, not only has, like, it grown in my appreciation from a comedy perspective, but also from, like, a documentary perspective, because I do feel like, to argue your point you just had, I do think, like, the movie does try... to, like, have, like, little sections, and the movie itself is almost, like, an allegory for the joke itself. Like the punchline of the movie is a very, very painfully unfunny bit with Tim Conway. That, like, he doesn't even do anything related to the Aristocrats at all. And that's how the movie kind of ends, right?
Yeah.
And even prior to that, before the credits roll, it's the same thing with Jon Stewart and his, like, PA when they're talking about, like... You know, I don't get it. Like, what's the point of it? Like, I don't get, like, the punchline. And Jon Stewart's like, oh, that seems appropriate,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
and then
they just
end the movie. I was like, yeah. Like, so I do think there was some method to the madness in how the movie was put together. Now, is that necessarily conducive for a fully entertaining documentary experience?
Absolutely
no,
not.
Because, like, I don't know what they're trying to accomplish by doing it besides, like, there's this joke. Let's get as many people as we can to say it. Funny and largely inoffensive beyond the material. You know?
I was going to say... That is completely inaccurate.
Right. Inoffensive in terms of you can do it and not, like, you're not degrading film.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
But,
makes
like,
sense.
Necessary? Absolutely not.
Yeah. Like, yeah. This movie is so inconsequential.
It is taking one joke and blowing it up into a 70 to 80 minute, like, ridiculous portions. Like, it's apropos. That's why... I went a little higher than what I was going to in my score because I do think it is impressive to make this interesting for 80 minutes. It does take itself seriously every now and then. It overanalyzes. It's got really good timing in and of itself. I think it's a very, very good time. I find it hilarious that we have probably recently had more people that, like, quote unquote, know us but are not, like, our core friends start to listen to this podcast, and now one of the first things they're hearing is us talk about the
Aristocrats.
Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, the Aristocrats is a really filthy joke.
So what I meant by that is, like, normally, if I didn't know already that we had people that are listening to this from work or acquaintances of work or different walks of life, I would have already been talking about, like, certain lines from this joke or already telling the joke myself, right? Because of that, I don't want to necessarily... I apologize to the people that were looking forward to that. The new people are fucking your experience up, all right? Because I'm not going to be getting into the specifics of the joke or my own version of the joke, as you might expect. But what Samantha, I think you were getting at, was to explain to people that possibly do not know the basis of the joke.
Yeah.
I will tell... Here's what I will do for people. I will tell the joke twice today on the podcast. Each time I will tell the joke as I told Jillian, our 8-year-old daughter, yesterday. Because she was curious when we were explaining it to Augie and his family. Later on in the podcast, I will retell the same joke using the same words but in a different method. I think that's fair. Correct?
Okay.
So the joke in and of itself is some semblance of a man walks into a talent agent's office. And the talent agent asks him what the act is. And the man says, "Do I have an act for you?" That moment, the man's wife comes out on stage. They proceed to vigorously make out as their children and a pet animal appear on stage. Let's call it a dog. And the children proceed to watch their parents make out while then all of the parents and children and dog proceed to pee themselves and poop themselves, and at the end they proceed to play with it and then puke to a grand finale. Ta-da! The talent agent says, wow, that's a hell of an act. What do you call yourselves? And the father says, we call ourselves the Aristocrats. That's the joke. Yeah. That is, am I correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
I was going to explain it a little bit. I was going to do it a little bit tighter than that, but you're fine.
Well, I had to give it some kind of...
Yeah, I know. Of course you did. Energy. Yeah.
Let me hear yours. Let me hear how tight yours
was. No, I was going to tell people, it's a bookended joke. You start with a man walks into a talent agency, and that's how it always starts.
Mm-hmm.
It always ends with, what do you call yourselves? The Aristocrats.
Mm-hmm.
And then in between is filled with whatever you want it to be filled with.
Sure.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Right.
Mine was better.
Argument. Argument.
we're not in trial here.
You're on trial.
Uh-huh. Please, you haven't even seen Bo is Afraid, so you don't know how that terrifies me. So, like, that's all the movie really is people talking about that joke.
And they're giving their iterations.
And talking about, like, how it's going. And, like, you can't argue that it's oddly just captivating throughout. Like, it's like, you get, like, a little slice of each individual person. So your score being a 6, what do you make of this? Because you didn't enjoy it as much.
No, I mean, it's just real nasty.
Sure. What did you think it was?
It's fine. Like, I knew it was nasty, but it's real nasty. I don't laugh at every instance of blue humor. I don't. You do.
That's not true at all. Try me.
No, I know.
I thought it was going to work.
Like, what?
I mean, we are explicit for a reason. Shit.
Well, yeah, obviously, but there's some things that we don't talk about. There were some really great interpretations of comedians that I enjoyed. It was fine. It was funny. I think it was exactly what it was trying to be. But like I said before, it was really inconsequential and wasn't really needed. That's why I gave it a 6. So not like it's not like, oh, the acting was bad. Oh, the script was bad. Like, it's just these people just doing their thing, being themselves. Like, I don't have that feedback for it. I just wasn't rolling on the floor laughing. That's all.
Fair. Fair assessment. Neither was I. You made it seem like I was guffawing in the streets.
Yeah, you were. Not. You ran outside. You ran around yelling the joke to everybody in Sawgrass Bay.
So I've told this joke many times in my life. Most notably, once from UF campus all the way to our favorite McDonald's right by our house in Gainesville. So that drive's probably like a 5 to 10 minute drive depending on traffic.
Yeah.
As late at night as it was, there wasn't much traffic. At the top of my lungs in a Gilbert Godfrey accent, or impression, if you will. And then I proceeded to order our McDonald's food under that impression to our favorite worker at the McDonald's, Jeffrey G. I think you're selling this movie short in, like, a lot of what it does. So, like, if we're getting into, obviously, favorite and least favorite scenes, it was really going to boil down to an MVP and LVP conversation based on, like,
yeah,
who you like the most. So we'll kind of, like, go a little bit out of order here. I do have, like, less scenes. Well, I guess they could be scenes. More stretches. So when they get into, like, the background around, like, the art of profanity and, like, the details around, like, you know, this guy who's written this joke book and, like, him kind of being, like, the godfather of these things for so long. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm impressed with that stuff. When they get into people's specific styles of it with, like, the Smother Brothers and Emo Phillips, like, that's a good expansion of making the most of a weak premise. Like, they're able to fill the time, I think, in a way that's not offensive at all.
Yeah,
it's not like it overstays its welcome at all.
I guess that's fair.
If anything, I do feel like it ends a little kind of, like, abruptly. Like, there's no, like, real crescendo to it, particularly when I already referenced I'm not a big fan of, like the ultimate ending. But there are... There's, like, really unique stuff in here. Like, there's like, a South Park sketch in here, like, mm-hmm. literally from Matt Stone and Trey Parker, where, like, their Cartman tells his version of the Aristocrats joke. Like, that is a really, really good scene that I think is very, very funny.
Yeah, that's good.
There's a great section where, like, a mime tells it, and it's, like, it's bold. The movie's just a silent film for, like, 2.5, 3 minutes.
I did not like the mime scene.
I thought you giggled at the mime scene.
No, I didn't.
Ugh, I thought you liked the mime scene.
So I didn't like it.
And then you get into, like, stylized versions where you have, like, the passing zone and, like, the card magician and then Penn and Teller doing, like, their magic act. This is all also after, like, Kevin Pollak's doing this Christopher Walken impression. Like, I like all that stuff. Like, the movie equals the joke because the journey to it is fun. So, like, it's just grown on me over many, many years. So.
No, I mean, I'm not faulting you for that. Yeah. I think that's fair. I just didn't have the same reaction to it.
And also, I do like, so this is going to be a wild statement to say, but like, it honestly is not that bad in hindsight in terms of how this movie is aged. Like, it's all, like, there's a couple of moments where things are said that probably shouldn't be said.
By people who shouldn't say them.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
But honestly, I was thinking it was going to be a lot worse. And that's not only from the people that are in it as well. Like, there's nobody in this where I was like, oh, man, I really don't want so-and-so to be in this, you know? Like,
yeah.
there's not a Bill Cosby, you know, joke in here. So that was good. But also, like, the movie does have, like, some self-awareness talking about how, like, what happens in the joke in a lot of versions now. Isn't that fucking wild considering, like, where we are in a society?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So, like, that comedy is interesting because I do feel like it's not being crazy in context now. Right after, like, going over, like, the most extreme stuff that the joke gets into, which is, like, pedophilia and, like, necrophilia and, like, bestiality and, like, the racial issues, which, like, that whole section is probably my least favorite, needless to say. But then it flipping on stage and being like, but, like, honestly, like, look at what's going on in the world.
Right, right, exactly.
Because we're kind of at two extremes of that now to get not, like, fucking political. It's like, yeah, sure, there is crazy, wild, gross, ridiculous shit out there. But then there's also such a natural, like, fear of recession of, like, in the state of Florida, we can't get, like, 85% of, like, the country's pornography, like, now. Like, it's ridiculous, right? Because of, like, the rules that have been put in place.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's 2025. Like
who the fuck cares?
Like, who the fuck cares? Like, why would you give, like, fucking, like, age verification to the extent of which needs to be protected when, never mind.
Yeah, I'm gonna
doom spiral, yeah, you know. So, but this movie brought a lot of those thoughts out to me, so it did,
I think that's a little
timeless and impactful from what the message is.
I think that's a good point of view.
Yeah, I'm stretching, but this is, it's good that somebody who, like me, is always trying to put his, like, film critic hat on. I'm able to pull things out of this movie.
Yeah.
That, you're such a bitch.
What?
Nothing.
I'm not the one who has to throw in my film critic hat on every podcast. Right. So don't call me a bitch. You're a fucking piece of shit.
What did you not like about the movie, madam?
There were just some of the comedians that I didn't like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's, so, I mean, again.
And like you said, it's kind of hard to talk about, like, stuff I didn't like without talking about the performances because they're intrinsically linked because of the format of this documentary, because there weren't really stretches of, like, scenes that weren't directly related to, like, people's performances or interpretations of the joke.
Yeah.
I didn't like the ventriloquist guy.
Well, that's getting into LVP.
Well, but I said we can't really talk. All right.
We're going to get to it very soon.
Okay.
He's on my list as well.
All right, fine.
Yes.
What did you not like?
Well, I already talked about, like, when it gets into, like, the racial section.
Yeah,
I thought it was
like
tacking
that.
It on. While funny, I also that goes into the section where two comedians are doing it in front of their children or their babies.
Oh, yeah, the babies.
Inherently very funny. But still, like, yeah, you know, do it in front of babies. Yeah, that's a little crazy. And then the ending, like I said, it's very anticlimactic. Like, the Jon Stewart joke of breaking it down, like I said, is clever in of itself based on the context of the documentary. But then the credits are really long because it does it in the style of you get to see every single person's name that is in the movie, laughing, doing other bits throughout, and then you have the Tim Conway bit that is painfully long because it's him slowly shuffling to the front of the camera and then walking back as the actual regular credits play.
Yeah.
It's just like this movie, like, breezes along, and then the last 10 minutes is like, okay, it, like, let it end.
It kind of peaks in terms of, like, unnecessary.
Yeah. And there is some unnecessary stuff that, like, so, like, the Sarah Silverman bit is probably the most famous part from this movie.
Yeah.
Because of the unclear context of the joke that she tells about Joe Franklin in this.
Yep.
It's like that whole stretch is
uncomfortable.
It's not necessary.
Yeah, you know. Not necessary at all. I put that.
Yeah, it's outside of the context of the movie.
Yeah, in I didn't and of like itself, it.
The movie, as dirty as it is, it's fun about how dirty it is, and that's, I don't know, just rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah. No, I agree with that 100%. Yeah,
and then I wish the old time section, like, I wish we got, like, an honest to goodness, like, longer show. Like, the guy that does the Sophisticates joke.
Yeah.
That's very, it's a good segment, but I wanted more stuff like that. Like, I wanted it.
Okay.
More like extremes on the on the positive side, if you want to put it that way. And also, like, there's some people that we're probably not even going to talk about because they're not MVPs or LVPs, but like they'd be more in the LVP section because of just how random. Like, Chris Rock's in this movie for like 5 seconds, on like a different camera. It's like they literally had Chris Rock for 90 seconds, it feels like.
Yeah,
and they're like, what do you think about the Aristocrats? And he just says something about the Chitlin Circuit, and then, you know,
and that's it. Yeah.
There's
like, unnecessary.
Same thing with Rob Williams. Rob Williams is the same exact way. They got Rob Williams, like, in the desert. Granted, these are the two most famous people in the movie, but, you know, it's jarring when that stuff happens, the way that it happens.
Sure, so
that's,
sure.
That would be as far as I get from there.
Okay.
So, yeah, so let's get into MVP and LVP.
Okay.
Because we want to talk through a lot of people to kind of narrow it down.
Yeah.
Because you're only basing a lot of this off of 2 to 3 minutes at a time. So let's start with LVP, because you already threw out somebody that's definitely on my list.
Yeah.
So it's
what,
there's...
What are their names? Otto and George. I bet they fucking suck. Otto and George.
It's a ventriloquist. And,
he's a bad ventriloquist.
He's moving his mouth a lot.
He's a terrible ventriloquist.
Like, so, like, this guy is, like, he just picked up a book of it on... He was, like, me. When I was, like, in first or second grade...
Oh, you sure you want to share this story?
I do want to share this story.
Ooh,
what, do you know this story?
No. That's why I'm asking.
You should
kind of
remember
sure.
this story. So
you
we went on a cruise sure. many years ago. And you and I... This is a Tarantino way of telling this really long story now. You and I were on a cruise, and we kept getting picked to do everything. We did the newlywed game... We did, like,
the quest game show
thing where, like, this Brazilian lady got naked. I was like, we don't want to win a medal that bad. So then there was a...
We were also, like, 26.
Yeah, there was a ventriloquist who performed. He asked for a volunteer. I wasn't even raising my hand, but all of you were pointing at me. And the guy went, okay, sure. And I went, oh, great, of course. People audibly groaned in the audience when they saw it was me again.
Yeah.
So I was like, it's fine, pick somebody else. Come to find out that this ventriloquist, I didn't recognize immediately because he didn't have the puppet that I knew him for. This ventriloquist, his name was, oh, it's going to escape me now. Hold on. He did the special Who's in Charge on the Disney Channel in like 91, 92. He was a very famous ventriloquist at the time, and I watched it all the time. It was 30 minutes. I had it on VHS. I probably watched this thing hundreds of times. We should watch it with Jillian. And I remember me and my grandmother made a sock puppet based on his instructions and tried to learn puppets. I rented a puppetry book from the library to figure out, like, how to become a ventriloquist. And it's kind of like the doy dot the dasket doll from, like, Doug. That's all, like, how it was. Like, saying words and training your voice not to move your mouth. Uh-huh. I gave up very quickly afterwards because I didn't want to be a fucking loser the rest of my life. So seeing this guy doing a ventriloquist act and moving his mouth so much... infuriated me. Also, he was like, most of the people on my list being too aggressive with the joke and had no substance to it beyond just saying the worst words they can think
can
of.
Can I just ask you one more question on this? How old were you when you were trying to be a ventriloquist?
I was 16. No, this was when I was like 5. It was like 5 or 6. Yes, positive. The reason why I remember is, again, photographic memory and also wrestling memory, helping contextualize it. The thing after the puppet show on my VHS tape was Starrcade 1992. So I was 5, becoming 6. So it was December 92.
Mm.
So trust me. Ron Lucas. That's the name of the ventriloquist. Ron Lucas.
Mm.
He had a cowboy doll called, I think it was like Cowboy Billy or something.
I bet you liked Cowboy Billy.
Excuse me! I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, you do.
So Otto and George are definitely probably number one on my list. Are they number one on yours?
Yes, they're number one on my list. I had Sarah Silverman on my list as well because I was, of all the things that you just said, like, she was on my list.
She's not on my list.
But George and Otto, I was like, this guy, I know it's him. Like, aren't you supposed to, like, isn't the whole thing supposed to be that you don't know?
The voices weren't that different, and he's kind of moving his lips.
He's absolutely moving his lips.
And he's trying to do, like, I get it. Like, he's doing it, like, side to side. It's like, well, how I do Carl from the Muppets. Hey, I'm Carl! Like, that guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I, like, hey, I'm Carl! Am I moving my lips that much?
Yes.
Hey, I'm Carl!
I mean, your mouth is open.
I got, did I get it?
Keep your mouth closed.
So this reminds me, I had an idea. Can we add a category to the mullets every year that's not about a movie, but it's just your favorite mullet of your favorite memory of the podcast of the year?
Oh, God.
So now we have to start writing down and remembering our ideas. It's going to be everything from April on, but me going, might be one. So, the other three that I have for my LVPs, I have the obnoxious prop and face guy, who, like, all of a sudden he...
Which guy?
It was tight on his face for, like, 45 seconds, and he was doing, like, the Three Stooges and drooling water out of his mouth and doing, like, a front fall. He was, like, doing all these, like, slapstick noises, and wasn't even telling the joke.
I don't remember.
Okay.
But it was obviously not that memorable, so...
And it was Peter Petosky. He was terrible.
Was that the director?
No, Paul Prevenza.
Oh.
No. George Rogel, the guy who was talking to this seemingly black militant gentleman on the street.
Look, that... Props to that guy.
That guy was...
He looked like he was invested in the joke.
He also looked like he was thinking this was something this guy actually did. And also was like, man, fucking white people.
Yeah.
He looked like he just came from a Public Enemy concert. The guy, again, was just, like, loud and abrasive and telling the joke on the street for attention.
Yeah.
Like, really profanely, without any substance.
His name is Greg Rogel?
Greg Rogel, yeah.
I put poor thing. That was my note on this guy.
And then the guy who was doing the joke in the bathroom, John Ross. Again, like, overly fucking stylized in public, blatantly offensive, without any talent or skill whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, and again, the people were saying, like, these, think of all the famous people we read that are in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, there's nobody, you've said Sarah Silverman is, like, the most famous person as kind of, like, not being great. If I'm looking at who's on it, the Hank Azaria bit I didn't find particularly funny. Louis Black is barely in it.
Hank Azaria was just Hank Azaria in every project he ever worked on.
Yeah, he would probably be the worst famous one here. I never find Andy Dick funny. Phyllis Diller just laughs the whole time.
She does. She,
Bill Maher is barely in it. Howie Mandel just keeps saying cunt.
looks just like my dad.
Just like your dad, right down to the Hawaiian shirt. I think all the rest of the famous... people did their jobs well enough, so we're gonna go with is it Otto and George? Can we narrow down who is who?
I think
Otto's the puppet, or at least I hope
Otto's the puppet. Gonna do a dual one. We're giving it to both of them. Well, Otto and George, they're like a pair.
I'm looking up Otto and George.
Otto and George.
Oh no, Otto's the dude. Otto Soul Peterson.
Okay, well, he got it.
And his dummy's name is George Dudley.
Otto Peterson?
This guy is still doing this.
Well.
God bless him. Oh, no, he died. Oh, God, he died 2014. Never mind.
Whoops. Was doing it till the day he died. Tell you what.
Oh, no, who got George? Who gets George in
there? George.
Illness and death.
Got
bacterial meningitis. I feel terrible.
Oh, Chris, you're such an asshole.
I mean, he's still bad in this movie.
He's still not a great
ventriloquist. I'm not going to change my mind. Sorry, you know.
He's still not a great ventriloquist.
Yeah, tough titty.
Okay.
All right, MVP. So I have two, four, I have six people.
I knew you were going to because you're such a dick, and I could tell you who they are.
Really? If you get all six...
No, it can't. I don't know if I
if
can get all six.
Get
I can
all
get the majority
six,
of them. I can
if
get the
you
majority.
Get all six, I'm going to give you two chances here. If you get all six, you get a block a movie vote.
Okay.
So basically, anytime...
I understand how a block a movie works. Well, no, Chris, I've watched Survivor...
I just meant any context. It could be randomly drawn, it could be nominations, it could be anything.
I'm well aware.
Okay.
That's how like block of votes work. Chris, yeah. I have like 300 board games.
If you get 5 out of 6, I will let you pick any movie to watch in the next 3 months.
Okay.
Okay. 4 out of 6 or better, worse, nothing.
Okay. Okay.
You have to get
Drew Carey.
That is one. And by the way, you're getting 1 strike and you're out.
You can't just add I thought
that was assumed.
No, it's not assumed.
Fine, I'll give you 2 strikes.
Gilbert Gottfried.
That is 2.
George Carlin.
That is 3.
I'm trying to think of the other people who were in this. Bob Saget.
That is 4.
The Amazing Jonathan.
That is strike 1.
Oh!
He's not in it enough. He doesn't tell it. He doesn't tell the joke. It's a good guess knowing me, though.
Yeah, that's more what I was trying to do. I don't think I have any other names written down. Larry Miller.
Strike 2.
Damn it. Martin Mull.
Martin Mull.
I had their names right next to each other.
Quote unquote on my notes, Martin Mull smoking a cigarette telling his really cool version of the joke is a mood. And the last one
was so good.
The last one was Pat Cooper. Again, Pat Cooper's only like 3 times, but he's just so, I hate you for making me do this. In his joke about a pony being born out of it, coming second place and paying $250, it's just a good bit.
I never would have gotten that.
Yeah, you never gotten that one. That's why I was pretty confident on the 6 out of 6, but I thought you could get 5 out of 6 because you just know how we like Martin Mull. So those are my 5 MVPs. Pat Cooper would definitely be number 6 on that list. Mm. Yeah, Martin Mull's version of the joke is different, legitimately funny, and he gives a good perspective on it.
I love Martin Mull.
Yeah. So
his bit here.
Yeah.
I thought Judy Gold did a good job, even though she was not really in. You're such a dick.
Go on, sorry.
I also really loved Penn and Teller.
Oh, yeah, they were really good.
I really liked it. I loved it, as I always do, like Teller's like reactions and like the nonverbal stuff. I thought that was really great. Yeah, so those were ones that. And Eric Idle, I thought.
He's funny.
Yeah. I just love listening and watching him. He's not an MVP, but he's funny. Yeah.
So breaking down the people we said. So George Carlin is the first person that we really get to see tell the joke in their way.
Yeah.
And it's very simple and very disgusting and very funny. And he just gives a lot of wisdom throughout. He is an excellent subject, you know. So he's really good. I already talked about Pat Cooper who's making me laugh. It's definitely not him. So Drew Carey, like... Because he's the only one that, like, gets, like, to add something to it all and, like, had people talk about, which is exactly what I did and how I tell the joke usually, which is doing the little hand motions and the snap. It's just very funny. But I think he gives great perspective on it and he makes some great points. I already talked about Martin Mull. I think that it boils down to, which is wild to say, it boils down to Gilbert Gottfried and Bob Saget. And the reason why it does is because, number one, Bob Saget, like, basically rebuilt his career off of this. Like, people already knew him as an underground kind of dirty comedian, but like he was able to finally like really express it, and like he got that his roast and he started touring. Like we saw Bob Saget at UF basically do this exact same thing, you know.
We did. That's right.
And he is doing it really really well in this movie, and is very funny. The reason why I'm going to lean with Gilbert Gottfried is number one, who didn't see this coming. it's like duh, but I do have actual reasons. Number one, Saget also falls kind of victim to the stuff we were complaining about with Robin Williams and Chris Rock, where like literally his joke is interrupted and we never go back to him because he literally has to go on stage and perform. So they only have him for like 5 or 10 minutes, and it sucks that he gets interrupted. Number 2 or 3 at this point, I feel like this movie doesn't happen without Gilbert Gottfried. Like if Gilbert Gottfried didn't do the joke. that became so famous at the Hefner roast and get publicity for it. Like, well, this movie doesn't even fucking happen.
I think that's
and you do get to see him throughout the movie adding the context that only he can add, and it's fucking awesome when he does that. But, like, I wish they spent even more time on it in the movie. Like, they should have shown the joke uninterrupted, flat, from it. They probably had, maybe it was like a thing where they couldn't pay Comedy Central or whoever to fucking do it. But that's no fault of Gilbert's. Like, both in archival footage and in the actual interviews and movie, he's, to me, second to none in terms of importance and value to the movie.
I would agree. Awesome. I would agree. I think that's fine.
Rest in peace, Gilbert. We're getting you an MVP on the podcast, buddy.
To go with that LVP you had.
For Return of Jafar?
I'm pretty sure. I also liked Whoopi Goldberg in this.
Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg. I always forgot she does a really good version of it.
Yeah, she does a really good version of it. I didn't get the comedian's name, but the one who does, and that, I think probably my favorite scene is the one where she tells the complete opposite. It's like,
oh, Wendy Liebman.
Wendy Liebman, like the clean cut, all American, everything, and then what do you call yourselves? Oh, the cocksucking motherfuckers. Like, I loved that. So yeah. I thought she did a great job.
She's got a really good version.
Again,
that's the only, like, she's in the movie for just that. But like, it's
honestly,
great.
It was like, I didn't catch her name, but it was memorable. Like, it was
Wendy Liebman,
awesome. So
yeah, I knew you were going to shout her out.
Yeah, shout out especially. Like, that was awesome.
Is this chocolate or poop?
I think chocolate. Jillian was eating. Ew. You didn't have to suck it so loud. I'm pretty sure it's chocolate. Jillian was having Three Musketeers.
I'm still not convinced. No, it's chocolate. All right, so we got one. Gilbert Gottfried.
What do you call yourself?
What?
What do you call yourself?
The aristocrats.
Eating shit off the couch.
Yeah, so we're going Gilbert Gottfried MVP and Otto and George for LVP, correct?
Or I thought we just said Otto. You said that we could only
I mean, Otto's the one controlling. I don't want to give, you know.
Yeah, I don't it's want not George. George's fault.
Yeah, George can't control what he's doing.
Right.
So, yeah, so we're going to go
he's
Otto
He's a
Peterson.
Puppet. Yeah.
A man walks into a talent agent's office.
That's your Gilbert Gottfried.
Hold on. Ha! Excuse me. Am I rusty?
You're real rusty, bro. You've lost it.
That makes me sad.
Yeah.
He's ruined the rest of my day.
I'm Yag. Sing the song.
I'm Yago. That also sounded like I was trying to sing the Indiana. Dun, dun, dun. That's probably for the best for everybody.
Yeah, especially probably for you.
Well, now you just ripped my soul out of me.
You probably, you know. You gotta make sure you don't tell your jokes like Sean Shannon, T. Sean Shannon. He's the one who said the N-word, and he should not have.
I know. Well, there was a guy who also said the F-word at some point.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know his preferences, but that's not okay anyway. So
You're right.
Yeah.
See? We're above this. You couldn't do this today.
What's your dumb question of the week?
I was gonna ask you to tell it.
Why would it be dumb?
Huh?
People don't. You don't think people know that I'm funny?
No. People know you're funny. You have a podcast.
That doesn't mean anything.
People know you're funny. You're funny.
We have plenty of funny podcasts on this network.
People know you're funny. I'm funny.
That's not going crazy. This is recording, Samantha. Shut up! Jesus Christ! We got fucking
Vin Diesel outside.
Yeah, Tyrese is late with the package, apparently, in my fucking backyard. Oh, the one only bit of trivia I saw for this. Obviously, the movie's dedicated to Johnny Carson. The original plan was for him to be, I think, the post credit. So I'm not as bad about the post credit. Was them getting him to tell this version of his version of the joke because this is his favorite joke. He was ultimately too ill to record, but was able to see the movie prior to him passing. So that's why the movie
that's
is dedicated
nice.
To Johnny Carson. And also Chevy Chase apparently also recorded a version of it and would famously hold parties just of comedians to tell this joke, apparently. But declined, didn't sign the waiver because he didn't want his family to think any less of him. Which is
That's utter
bullshit.
Come on, Chevy.
Can we make him the LVP and he's not even in the movie?
Fucking Chevy, no. Yeah. Otto.
No, Otto would still be worse than that. So yeah. So you don't have a question? You're just going to ask me to do the joke?
Yeah. I mean, what kind of dumb... do you have a dumb question? What dumb question are you going to ask?
We're
going
to be like, do you ever do anything like that?
you ever get on stage and shit?
No. I remember peeing myself or pooped on stage, which is surprising. I've never ripped my pants prior to or current stage work, like others have. That's not me. Not Samantha.
Yeah, not me.
No.
Asshole. Yeah, no.
I hit a woman on stage once.
Well, that was part of the act, right?
From Diary of Anne Frank. I wasn't a Nazi. I was Mr. Von Don, which is almost equally worse.
It is.
Almost. If you know the story of Diary of Anne Frank. All right, like we've
done. Know the story of the Nazis, like, what?
Oh, girl starts writing in a diary. anything else on the Aristocrats?
No,
I've already ranted enough.
I think we're good.
All right, are you locking in your score of a 6?
Yeah.
All right, I gave it a 7.5. Yeah, I think that's fair. A 7.5 for this movie is...
So a
6.75. 6.75 for the Aristocrats sounds about right.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
It is... I liken this movie a lot to Room 237 in terms of like how easy it is to just throw on and honestly always find something to entertain you from a documentary perspective. It's highly rewatchable, got a lot of funny stuff in it, but it is largely worthless.
Yeah.
So a 6.75 for the Aristocrat sounds mighty fine to me. So I get the nominated movie. So I'm concerned that we are fast approaching May. So more than a quarter of the year is done. A third of the year is done. And we've only got like two or three movies possibly for like some of our worst awards. So we need to watch some more bad movies.
I don't think that's an accurate statement.
So I'm going to make two movies as I've been very nostalgic.
Wait a second, that's not an accurate statement.
Yeah, it kind of is.
No, we've had plenty. Oh, yeah, okay.
I've been very nostalgic about our college days.
Oh,
so I'm
going
to pick two movies that we discovered in college that I don't think I've ever watched from beginning to end. And I...
Oh, no.
And I want to talk about on the podcast. First one is Funky Monkey.
Oh, we could do it tonight. Augie's coming over.
Well, WrestleMania instead. The second is China Strike Force.
Oh, God. Oh, my goodness gracious.
So Funky Monkey or China Strike Force.
Both of them are terrible.
Would you like to have the audience give context to both, either?
Oh, you can give the audience. I don't need the context.
So Funky Monkey is about a chimpanzee with martial arts training who is pursued by the government after it's rescued from an animal testing lab by its trainer. I believe this movie also stars... this movie shares Taylor Negron as like its cast member, if I'm not mistaken. Matthew Modine is also in it, and Roma Downey from Touched by an Angel. China Strike Force is your, like, run-of-the-mill, bad, like, late 90s, early 2000s, like, martial arts movie trying to capitalize on Jackie Chan. Mm-hmm. But it also has Coolio in it.
Yeah, which is phenomenal, really.
Yeah. And I believe he's just Coolio in the movie.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure he's stars as self.
Yeah, and the reason why it's even more funny than that is in college, our improv group name was Theater Strike Force.
So
being called China Strike Force was just very, very funny. So those are my two movies. So which one are you picking?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like Funky Monkey is going to be like, can be kind of cute because you've got a monkey and you've got kids, right? I feel like China Strike Force takes itself so seriously. I feel like that's kind of what we need to make fun of. So I'm going to go with China Strike Force.
China Strike Force, okay. Very, very good. If I was going to sway you one way, it was going to be towards Funky Monkey because at the very least we could watch it with Jillian, but not the vibe I need right now.
We've got a bunch
of movies we need to make sure that just like the two of us can watch, you know,
at times.
So, all right, so China Strike Force is coming your way here very, very soon. And thank you guys for listening to this week's episode of Married Movies. We encourage you, as always, to go to arcadeaudio.net for this podcast and the others on our network of shows. Rate, review, and subscribe. Wherever you get your podcasts, go to patreon.com/arcadeaudio for bonus content. Facebook.com/marriedmovies, @marriedwmovies on Twitter, and marriedwmovies@gmail.com. Let's think of the show. I think I did that very fast and very good.
You did.
Your host, Small38 on Instagram for you.
@jamwithyoursam.
Again, happy Easter. Happy WrestleMania. Happy everything.
Happy everything.
Everyone, goddammit, just fucking, everyone be happy, please.
Please.
Everyone be happy.
Please.
Not bothering anybody.
No one's bothering anyone.
And if you are bothered by somebody, just, I don't know, poop on them. I'll fisting their mother. What? I'm gonna get something in here.
Her mullet.
This is mullet.
Signing out for this week's episode of Married with Movies. We'll catch you next time on our couch.
Slash the movies. I've been in agony for 50 minutes.
I asked you to tell the joke.
Fucking piss up the wazoo with granny's teeth.
Thank you for playing Arcade Audio. Play more at arcadeaudio.net.